Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is March 9th, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a fantastic show for you tonight with our guest, Ms. Lisa Terrell Perry Amos, and she's gone from the streets to success. She actually lived in the street life at one time, survived domestic violence, and she rose above it. She's now a literary entrepreneur and is really in the very near future opening her own bookstore called Word on the Street down in the ATL. So before we welcome Lisa to the show, I'm going to welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, what's happening, ladies and gentlemen across the nation? We're thanking everybody for always tuning in on Wednesday night, and we just want to say we send our love to everybody that tunes in, and everybody that's not tuning in, we ask you to get tuned in, you know? So without further ado, we would like to pass the mic to our great guest tonight and let her form and introduce herself, and we're going to get this party started.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hey, listen to Rob. What's going on? What's good in the hood?
Glad to have you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm so nervous.
Go ahead and formally introduce yourself, and let's get it going.
I'm Lisa Terrell Perry Amos from Newark, down the ATL. I have, been through a lot. Been through a real lot. I've got my own radio shows. Me and Rob and Lucinda, we all represent domestic violence, incarcerated to incorporation. But I think when I saw the streets don't love me back, love you back, I should say, they don't love me back either. They really don't. I was a perfect little girl, you know, did everything I had to do, had my daughter, then got divorced. And then years later, I got married again, and that's where the abuse came in. And 2 years after he beat me, knocked my teeth out, stabbed me. I mean, there's so much I could really tell you. But then I went back home to New Jersey, and I had my little one. Bless his soul, Maya. That's my baby. I got two. It's Tammy and Maya.
Okay.
And I call them Drama and Trauma. You know, I renamed them. So, them my babies and them my hearts. And I did jail time. And when I came out of jail, I met my Summit hood, Summit New Jersey hood. Deshauna, shout out. Tanisha, Kiki, all those. I met them, and then Tanisha, she actually introduced me to Newark. I didn't know nothing about Newark because I was up in Bridgewater, and me and the white urbia, like, ill. But anyway, I was there, and then Tanisha, she brought me down to Newark, and she introduced me to Ish, and Ish was my man, you know, but whatever. And then I met the homeboys, Sal, Haas, Mooney, Nene, Tappy, everybody. I mean, I was on South 6th Street deep with them. And then Sal, he took me under his wing, Sal and Haas and Mooney, and I became an Amos under them. And on everything I love, there is nothing I can say that you could understand that the love I got for South 6th Street and I've got for Sal and Haas and Mooney, because I've seen so much shit happen in Newark, and I look at people like where I am now in Georgia. They call this the hood. I'd be laughing at them. You all don't know the hood until you walk out your building, you stepping over bodies, you hearing the gunfires day and night, 24/7, you ducking and diving bullets, you go around to the bodega, and then you see people nodding on the block. And then, you know, the first of the month and third of the month, they get their food stamps up north, so you will see people literally going food shopping, selling food stamps, oh, Lord, and then coming on the block trying to sell you, you know, $20 steaks for $10 because they need that rock.
Okay.
I've had a lot of family killed. I'm affiliated with a lot. I see a lot, and there's so much out there, and I swear if I could get the kids off the street, because this is the problem right now. It's not the OGs to the block. It's not the OGs to the streets. It's the ones that are young, 12, 13, 14, 15, getting a hold of a gun, and then they feel that trigger that first time, and they get trigger happy. And they just go shooting anything and everything that's around them. They do drive-bys. That four-year-old little girl sitting on grandmama's porch, eating an icy, got shot and killed. For what? She was 4 years old. Four. She didn't do nothing to nobody.
Right.
You know, and then you got
all
these.
That happens all the time.
What happened, Lucinda?
I said that happens all the time. The innocent ones get hurt.
Yeah, and then you've got, you know, I mean, I'm talking about dead-ass Newark. Like, I live in Newark. I breathe Newark. That's my home. You know what I'm saying? I'm in Atlanta now. But, like, I get the calls every day, all day long, talking about lease. Nah, I don't want to hear it. Vanilla, nah, what, who, when? And then I get the calls from the jail. The jail's got me on speed dial. Who you bailing out this week? You think I'm playing, Lucinda? I'm not playing.
I believe you.
They got me on speed dial. Like, don't. It's crazy. It's crazy in Newark. And then they have enough nerve to lay off half the cops. Camden, Trenton, and Newark. The worst three cities in the nation besides Compton. And I walk the streets of Compton. I got a crib in Inglewood, so I ain't even worried about that. But I'm just saying, like...
Well, they're doing the same thing in Detroit.
Yeah.
Getting rid of a lot of the cops.
They just laying them off, like, why would you do that? Yeah. And then they wonder why the crime rate, you know, 10 people get murdered in a day. Well, where's the cops at? But the cops are crooked, too. I'll tell you that straight up.
Amen.
The cops
Amen.
Are crooked as can be. And I'll call it out. Jay Albanese, Bridgewater cop, white boy, my white brother, is the crookedest of all of them out there. He even told somebody, he said that if I ever come back to Jersey, he'll make sure he'll find out where my plates are, pull me over, plant something on me, and lock me up and throw away a key because I married outside my race. Now, what kind of shit is that?
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's a real misunderstanding of life, you know, that people still think that way in this 9 days, but it still go on all around the globe, you know. But what we'd like to ask you, Ms. Lisa, we would like to ask you, what advice would you give these young kids that's trying to be in this lifestyle? And we would like you to just touch upon what kind of advice also would you give these young ladies that's coming up about just domestic violence as well, you know?
Okay. As far as my little babies, like all my little hood, anybody that think about getting into the game, don't do it, because you're going to end up in one or two places, in the prison or under it. That's the only two places you're going to end up, straight up to the truth. Like, you can go out and gangbang. You can act like you tough, but at the end of the day, somebody going to find you, and you either going to get shot behind it and killed, or you're going to end up in the prison behind it. doing life, doing 30, doing 40. So you'll be 14 years old. You'll sit in the juvenile till you're 18 if they let you and not charge you as an adult.
Right.
And then with the women, wow, get out. Just get out. Don't even, like, let a man put his hands on you. And, Rob, like you said, you put that book at Never Hit a Woman. No, it don't go down. But it's two now. It's two times now because it's men getting verbally abused and physically abused by women. And it's also all these men are abusing women. And then you got the children that are actually the victims. Because I know my one daughter was. She saw what happened to mommy. Thank God the baby didn't. But
right.
I got out. I got out in time, and that's why I have my domestic violence show on Sundays, Robin, listen to you on it with me. And you know how I do. Like, there's so much to be said. And last weekend we had Dave Butler on there, and he was a victim. He was a victim. Saw his mama beat all those years and then turned around and hit his girls, started hitting his female, you know, wife's girlfriend or whatever. He got locked up. When he was locked up, his mama died. He couldn't, and down in Texas, they don't play. He couldn't even go to the funeral. Like, when we up north, Newark and all that, like, if somebody in the immediate family, mom, dad, brother, sister, child, if they get hurt or killed or die for whatever reason, you getting brought in shackles and handcuffs like 2-3 hours before the funeral, but you'll get to pay your respects. Texas don't do that. Texas don't do that. So
yeah, a lot of states don't do that. Michigan, one of them, my homeboy, mother passed, and he was not able to attend the funeral as well. So yeah, a lot of states get that, you know, mission in play, you know. But I think that if loved one passed, I don't care what state it's in, I think it should be a law. You know, you should definitely be able to go pay respects to your mother, your father, your sister, or brother, you know. And it's just so much out here we got to get a handle on, and we need a lot of direction on as well in this country right now, because it's just so much twisted, and we as the people got to really stay ground level and level-headed to really reach the goal we're trying to reach as individuals and teams, you know?
Right. Well, let me tell you a story that just happened in Arizona recently. A couple ended up fighting domestic violence, stopped on the side of the road and finished their fist fight or whatever they were doing. Police were called in. Come to find out, the man is the leader in the House of Senate here in Arizona, and his fiance. And so because he was in the House and was the leader of the House here in Arizona, he told the cops, you can't arrest me because I'm a public servant and you're not allowed to do that. So they arrested his girlfriend, fiance, and she had bruises on her. The police got pictures to prove that it was a two-way thing, but yet she was arrested and he wasn't. And then back at the Senate, they took a vote to see whether he could stay or go, and they kept him. So what does that tell you?
Was he white?
The game is twisted.
They're
was he
white?
No matter what different color he was, the game is twisted. You know what
I mean? Well, I mean, it does, I think, because if he was a black man or a Hispanic man, it might not be the same situation.
Exactly.
And that's just keeping it real.
Uh-huh, exactly, and that's why I go hard for my hood, because you have to understand, like, I went to jail. I went to county, and I will never forget somebody I knew had my car, and they had two dime bags in my car. Now, everybody know I don't smoke weed. I don't do nothing like that. I drink, but ice is my passion. Okay, we'll go with that. But this man got pulled over in my car, and he had two dime bags. Because he had a prior felony, he was looking at 8 years back in state. And I was like, hold the hell up. So I went down to the sheriff's station, and I said, no, I got this. That's mine. That's my car. He didn't know it was in there, only because I knew who it was, and I knew he you know, what was going on. So why did I get 90 days and did 54? Oh, they looked at my skin color. Then on top of it, the girl that went, this little girl, oh, my God, 18 years old, went to court behind me, and she charged $108 on a credit card that she wasn't authorized to. She got 108 days. Now tell me something on something.
Yeah. Something wrong. You know, we would like to believe that things are not racial, you know, as much as they used to be, but, I mean, it's still there.
It's 2011. Like, for real. Like,
right.
Stop playing. I'm sorry, I'm outside. Somebody racing by. But, yeah, it's 2011. Like, this has got to stop. It really has. Like you say, the streets don't love you back. They really don't. They really, really don't. And it aggravates me and frustrates me because I be trying to do everything I can. I'll take a bid from my family in a heartbeat because I know I'm going to go back, go over there, do what I got to do. My commissary is correct. My house is paid for. Everything is done. But at the end of the night, who's going to court that next day? And then you sit in bullpen therapy for hours, sit in the bullpen, wait for them to take you to court. Get up there. The judge don't know what he's looking at. Oh, my God, please. And it's always a white judge that is looking at us like, what did you do? Are you serious? That's
right.
Why I get so frustrated. Y'all didn't really want me on this show tonight. Listen to Freud.
Of course we do.
Oh, no. We keep it real. You know, that's the reason we put real people, real things, and real choices and real ideas out here, because life is a choice, and the choice you make in this world is the choice that will make you or break you, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's always your surroundings. Whoever you choose to surround yourself with becomes your rise or fall. So, well, we must truly understand that out here, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, and they just run wild. You know, like you're running in the wilderness, you know. You have to really sit back and analyze life and play life like chess, you know. Never could get in checkmate. It's very different than checkers, you know.
Checkmate 212.
Yeah, for sure.
You already know. And then you get to the kids don't know when they get to the jail. You know, they think it's all cool. That's why I love Beyond Scared Straight. I really love that show. Because you
isn't
get to
cool?
the jail, huh?
I said, isn't it cool? That show really, really, I mean, it shows the kids, and it puts them right there, and it scares the heck out of them.
Yeah, because guess what? When you get into that jail, and you get strip searched, and you're standing there, and you don't know what you're doing, and all of a sudden they give you blankets and your two uniforms and maybe you know, whatever they got, and you get them damn bologna and, this, oh, God, those steak cheese sandwiches. And you get told to get back in the bullpen, and then you come out, and you get processed with the fingerprints, and you're allowed to make one phone call, and everybody got cable phones now or cell phones. So you really can't call nobody collect.
Right.
So now you're stuck looking stupid.
You know, and honestly, Lisa, I use my speed dial or my, you know, so much, I don't even memorize numbers anymore.
You ain't never lied.
On my cell
but,
phone, you know? So I'm like, what the heck? I don't even know my kids' numbers. I'm like, what the heck? Because I don't need to remember them anymore. They're already in my phone. But if I needed it, I would have to think really hard, what the heck?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know my brother's cell number hard as hell. I know his number hard as hell because that's the only person I got to call. And
right.
I keep
prepaid. You better
prepaid.
Know somebody's number.
Okay. I keep prepaid money on my phones. Both my house phone and my cell phone for the hood because they know if they get locked up, just call Lisa, she'll bail us out. But, you know, then I think back like, okay, well, when I got back, you know, I ran guns. I did everything up and down the East Coast. And there's some things I can't talk about or name. But, you know, you look back and now I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? What the hell was I doing? And that's when you go to prison, like I said, I never did prison. Thank God for that. But I did that the counting time, that was enough for me. And I was blessed because I did it in Delaney Hall, which is actually a dorm off of Essex County Jail. And when I was there, I was blessed because Ms. Johnson, she took me under her wing. She was the warden, I guess you want to call it the warden of that place. But she knew I had skills, cause, and I will never forget, when I walked in, she was like, oh, you is not a prisoner. I looked at her, I said, why? She said, you got all your teeth and you got fresh nails. I looked at her, I said, what? Like, for real. And then you get to know these women in the jail, and that's another topic I'm going to do on my show is women in prison when you come home. Like, when you get released, you just be like, you don't know how to function. And I know after 54 days, I went home, and I'm making dinner for the kids, and I turned around and said, tray's up. And they all looked at me like, what the hell is mommy talking about? Like, for real. But you got to imagine all these people that are in prison doing all this time, and then they come out to the streets with cell phones, computers, Facebook, Blog Talk, all this. They don't know all that. So they got to get...
Think about the people that have been in prison for the last 20 years and they're just coming home, which, you know, wow. You know a lot of them. You know, that, you know, the way they didn't have computers when, you know, 20 years ago. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all the things that we have now, you know. And prison is a totally, like, a different world, you know, a different language, a different, I mean, it's just everything is different. And coming out here into the world, it's got to be very, very hard.
It's very hard. It's very hard. And that's why we have what we have. They're called repeat offenders because they get three hots in a cot. Laundry done, the uniforms, everything, well, if you want to call them uniforms, but the jail uniforms, and that's the problem. That's why they do that.
Because they have everything in there. It's easy.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know if you want to call those meals, but, yeah. Yeah. They call that food.
What do you have out on the streets when you get out and don't have anything?
Right.
For some people. Some people come out and they don't have anybody. They don't have any support.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a great show tonight with our guest, Miss Lisa. We're going to go to our commercial, and we're going to go to a song, and we're going to be right back with our guest, Lisa, tonight. Hold tight. We'll be right back.
All right.
The paranoia, the shadow people. You start seeing random shadows thinking that people are following you. You're in a house, you think everyone's out to get you, even though they're supposed to be your friends, you think. You think everyone just hates you, basically. My name is Alan. I'm 22 years old. I'm from Tucson, Arizona. I started doing meth when I was 16 years old. One thing I do a lot of is steal from my family. That was probably the most hurtful. I take everything that they liked, and I would go and trade them for drugs. I'd go to a pawn shop and pawn them off. Just for just maybe 20, 30 bucks just to get high. My morals were pretty messed up at the time. All my reservations were gone. I said I'd never steal from my family. I would never steal from a random individual. I've done all those. I had to get to that point to where I lost everything. Family gave up on me. Pretty much had nobody but myself, which I did to myself, so.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is BOYD and Struggle coming straight at you, baby. Much love to my homeboys up in Detroit, off Van Dyke and Harbor. Much love goes out to my homeboys in Cincy that's always kept it real. And to your clear haters, this goes out to you.
No need to look any further. Look like brother, what you thought? Boy, Rex is knocking you out like rubber tussin' as it goes. Made you pull up with this northern exposure. Smoking doja, and I'm coming on the real. Yes, the real, I thought I told you. And I'm keeping it to your bloodstream just like HIV. Stand away from all them player hating people with degrees. It's time to come up. Why do you bet not, brother? Because you put your faith and your prayers into another man's head. That move is bogus. Struggle's here to let you know this. That you never ever be a part of the dope. Who put your faith in the spot? Who cooled it off when it was hot? Who made it live when it was weak? Now you can't even speak. It's time to nut check. Time for respect. Time to break neck. You want it out for family. Now it's time for you to check. And you chasing waterfalls. It wasn't meant, fool. In other words, you played yourself. Now who's cool? Hey, yo, you played yourself. No, 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 you played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. You played yourself. Hey, yo, you played yourself. Wait a minute, you played yourself because you didn't play the cards that was dealt. Partner, you played yourself. You tried to engage yourself with some people who didn't have no freaking wealth. So hide your help. Ain't nothing good gonna come out your freaking game, cause everything you do bad gonna come back twice the pain. Who's to blame? Listen to the black rain about to shake the ground for all you black stabbing people in this town. I'm known to bring the anger, make you hiss like a snake. Here's a hint from my partner.
Take it down in your face.
Hey, yo, I'm making any black up in you too. That's like you like my canvas. You played yourself, and I was a witness. Your career's finished. Don't be misled by the words that I speak. I keep it real. You had a taste of both sides. Not how it feels.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
No, 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 you played yourself.
I said you played yourself.
You played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute. You played yourself, because you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them, and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
You be like that Benedict on the backstabbing brother behind my back. But in my face, you be like struggle, yo. Where the party at? I be like push on. Get on, get out my face, partner. Cause ain't no love lost, and ain't no love here neither. I can't believe that you betrayed me. Took food from my baby, but you have been acting kinda shady lately. So I got to push you to the curb. Fly away like a bird, partner. You need to stop smoking all that herb. If you would've came to me, Imano, Imano, we would've squashed it at the gate. But you chose to segregate. Play a hate, get it straight, partner.
No, 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 you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
You played yourself.
You played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself, cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
Brother, relax your mind and let your conscience be free. Get down to the sounds of struggling, I'll be. Your negativity be cruising against my surface, cause the things that I did for you, your ass can deserve it. Now I'm on some payback for the things you did like way back. Answering all your questions like my name was Backstage Jack. Jesus had 12 disciples and what wasn't true. And he knew, like I knew, I never ever should to mess with you, so I'm gonna do what I gotta do and then some. If a brother try to flex, I take his life for ransom. Even when I'm by myself, I roll with a crew of soldiers, sick as flu with those known to turn your body black and blue. I told you, why did you test me? I'm the one who put you on. See, if it wasn't for me, you'd be like a mobile phone or wrong cheek. It ain't no me and us, it ain't no he and we. I thought we would be together like OJ and AC. You were that brother I pull a trigger for. You a freaking beard for. Now you just that off-brand nigga roll. You played yourself. No, 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 I said you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
My partner, you played yourself.
Hey, yo, you played yourself.
Wait a minute, you played yourself, cause you didn't play the cards that was dealt.
You can be as good as the best of them, and bad as the worst of them, but don't test me, brother. No, brother, don't test me, no.
Why did you test me, gang player? I told you don't ever tempt me. But now I gotta come at you for real now. You should've kept it real. But when you don't keep it real, situations sometimes get hectic in your life. But you should've understood. So why did you play yourself, player? I look at you all the time when you don't think I see you. I see you. Our boys up north, baby. We got our own way of dealing with player haters.
Come on. Bring it in. Bring it in. Come on.
And I don't think you should ever did what you did. Sometimes I know you had nightmares waking up sweating and saying,
hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And we're kicking it live with our guest, Miss Lisa. And we're going to come right back to Miss Lisa, and we'll pass the mic to my missus.
All right. Lisa, you say that you were raised by your grandmother. What happened to your parents, and how was it being raised by a grandmother instead of two parents?
Wow. Okay, I was firstborn, and my mother hated me. My mother hated me. She told me every day she wished she had an abortion. And then came my two brothers, my two white brothers, Jason and Sean, and they spoiled them. I got beat every day by my mother. And then I was daddy's favorite because I was the only girl. But he was a truck driver, so he was over the road a lot. And wow, you're bringing a whole lot of emotions up in me right now. So daddy, when he would come home, he would pick me up on my armpits. I swear I still got bruises. But 3-4 years old, and put me in the truck and back the truck into the driveway. And She hated me for that. She really did. So basically, my mother beat me so bad one day that she locked me in a closet. And my grandmother came over. My grandmother was my best friend. You won't have me crying in a minute. My grandmother was my best friend. 722-4933. 15 years later, I still know that number. And I still wish I could call her. But she had come over with my grandfather. And she was like, "Where's my baby at?" And my mother said, "Oh, she in the corner." And my grandmother, I'll never forget, I was in the closet. And my grandmother said, "What did you do to her? Because that baby don't deserve nothing but love." And my grandmother came through my bedroom. She, that woman right there, Marie, oh, Lord. She came and ripped that closet door down with my grandfather and saw me hovering in the corner bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home with Grandma that night. And then my mother reported me missing. So the police came and got me and put me in the Bridgewater, the Bridgewater Youth Home, and put me in there for 6 weeks. And then my grandfather died. And my grandmother, my grandmother called the shelter. It was the Bridgewater Youth Shelter, I'm sorry. She called there and she told them what had happened and that she wanted to take custody of me, and they told her she had to do all this, and she was like, she needs to come to her grandfather's funeral, this, that, and third. So she beat my mother. She beat my mother to call the shelter and say, "I'm coming to get my daughter. It's all good now. Everything's good." This is way back in the day now. You talking about what? Yeah, you talking about way back in the day. And almost 30 years. Yeah, it'll be 30 years. So grandma came and caught me. And I went to my grandfather's funeral. And then I stayed with grandma in Somerville. And I was fine with her. I was really fine. But my grandmother also had another daughter that was mentally retarded. That would be Julie. R.I.P. Julie. And Julie was mentally retarded to the point with bags, catheters, all that.
Not functioning. I mean, she had to have all that.
No, but she could walk. She could walk. But she slept in the crib and all that. And when my grandmother got sick, I took guardianship of Julie. I was 20 years old. So I took guardianship of her. We already had her in Princeton in supervised apartments and everything. And
so your grandmother that took you, was that your mother's mother?
Yes.
Okay.
I never met my father's mother or father. My father was one of 11. He was the oldest of 11. He died 2 weeks before my 18th birthday. He was 42.
Oh, wow.
He had a stroke. And then that's when I became my brother Jason's guardian, and I raised him. I was 18 years old, and I raised him. He got Social Security checks. I put him in a bank account, never took a dime. He went into the Navy. He did real well for himself, and I don't know what the hell happened when he came out. But he disowned me after that. And my mother, 6 weeks after my father died, moved in with a man. And he was great to us. Don't get me wrong, Vince. He was great. He was really great to us. And that's how I got my stepsister, Jennifer. And I couldn't even tell you, like it's real confusing to me still to this day. I took care of Jennifer, I took care of Jason. And I look back now like, what the hell did I do? I was only not even 18 years old. And when my brother, I will never forget when Jason was in the Navy, he had an ombudsman. And I will never forget, I was so upset that I couldn't get out to Bremerton for when his ship came out 2 days before Christmas. So I talked to her and I sent him all these gifts. He wanted some Johnny Ropers and stuff like that. I sent all that stuff. 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Sent all that across to Bremerton, Washington, to Puget Sound. And the ombudsman, she said when he got off the ship, when the whole crew got off, they had a special thing for him, talk about, where's Jason at? And I mean, I'm not going, well, I already called that, Jason Albanese. And he was like, I'm right here. He said, this is from your sister, Lisa. And he broke down and cried on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And then that day, they took him home with them. Because I wasn't there. I couldn't get there. I was taking care of Jennifer. I was taking care of my own daughter. Like, I was doing everything myself. And they took him home with them. And he had all kinds of gifts under the tree for me. It was for me. And now, he don't even know me.
Hmm.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
And did you ever make up with your mom, or, I mean, what happened later on?
Oh, yes. I mean, I saw my mother. I saw my mother. Wow. Her. Mm. Anyway, when she was dying, she was living at my brother Sean's house in PA, and they called me, telling me she was on her last breath to come on. I said, okay. So, one of my homeboys from Summit, he drove me up there, and we got in there, and shout out Ruben, thank you for all that. He stayed in the waiting room, I went in the room. She was basically knocked out, but both my brothers was there, and my aunt was there, my favorite aunt. Oh my God, my Aunt Lou. That's my heart right there. I still talk to her all the time. But when we walked in, I just looked at Diane like, all right, well, I'm here. Like, I really had no words for her. And it wasn't until Maya's grandmother, Margie, she walked in the hospital room because I told her where I was going. And my mother rolled over and looked at me. She said, I want to see Maya. Maya was only not even 2 years old. And I said, okay. So I called Margie. I said, Mommy, can you go ahead and grab the baby? She said, the baby, I just got her out of school. What's up? And I told her where I was. She said, I'm on my way. And she got there. And I'll never forget, the baby walked in there. And she climbed on my mother's bed because Maya loved Grandma. She didn't really know her, but she loved her. She climbed on Mommy's bed, and she was like, Grandma, wake up. And I heard my brother Jason say, who the hell's kid is that?
Uh-huh.
And Aunt Lou looked at him, and she said, that's Lisa's daughter. That's Maya. He said, well, she don't look black. That was all he said, and he got up and walked out the room. So once Maya got done hugging up on her grandmother, I had Mommy Margie, her grandmother, take her out the room. And it was just me and Aunt Lou. And I looked at Aunt Lou, and Aunt Lou said, you were about to snap. And I said, no. And I looked dead in Diana's face at my mother, her mother name. And there was a smell, and I call it the breath of death. I've never smelled nothing like that in my life. And I looked at her, and I said, it's time for you to go to sleep. Now go to sleep. And she flatlined 2 seconds later.
Right.
So.
Wow. So with that being said and done, through all of that right there, how do you feel about things as of where you stand today, looking back on where you came from?
I'll take my hood over my parents any day. Yeah, I'll take my hood, Sal, Haas, Vanetta, Mommy, Red, all them. I will take them, South 6th Street, Lagan, all them, over my mother and father. Every, now, I can't even say that about my father because, like, my father, like I said, worked two jobs. He came home, you know, he had his, what happened?
He was just gone all the time.
Yeah, he was gone, but then he came home, and then he sold his trucking business, and he got a job at Crestline, and, yeah, and he was, and it's funny, because I remember, like, looking at his pay stubs, he was making $800 every 2 weeks. Oh, my God, like, that was a lot of money back then. I make $910 on unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I look back to my father. He really, he never abused my mother. He got tired, sick and tired of her shit day in and day out. She was a Valium addict that just, all she wanted was bingo. That's it. Pop her Valium and go to bingo and spend $50. And me and the kids be home by ourselves. And my father would come home from both jobs. And, yeah, when, man, when he passed, I was in my room. I heard my mother screaming. I was in my bedroom. Both my brothers was in their room. And I heard my mother screaming, Al, wake up. Al, wake up. That was his name, Al. And Al, wake up. Al, wake up. Al, wake up. And I came out my room, and I saw my father crawling, literally crawling on his hands and knees, holding his chest, and got up on the couch. And he's holding his chest. I said, Dad, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? And he was, like, calling the ambulance. So I went to grab the house phone. The house phone wasn't there. I go in my mother's room, and she was, like, she was calling him. And I said, Ma, why is he out on the couch like that? She said, I had to change my shirt. I looked at this bitch like, what the hell? You made three kids with him. And you sent him out on the couch to change his shirts because he would have lived. He would have lived. So, yeah. Do I have love for my mother? Yeah, she's my biological mother. I got to show her love. But do I love her? Nah. Straight up, nah.
You know, and that, you know, sorry that you had to go through all that. But I'm thinking too that, you know, that's why a lot of kids do turn to the hood, to the streets, to the gangs, because they're having problems like this at home and they really don't feel close to anyone at home. And when they go and join the gang, even though, I mean, we know now that, you know, gangs are really not your family, but at that time, that's all they have. And they feel that that's their family.
But I didn't join it then.
Right.
It wasn't until 10 years later.
Right.
It wasn't until 10 years later that I got affiliated. And like I said, I was married to my first husband, Tommy. Like, Tammy's father, I lived with him. I got with him when I was 16. We got together, and I lived in an apartment with him at 17, my senior year, right now in study hall, writing out the checks for the bills. Who the hell does that at 17 years old? Go home, make dinner, go over to Vince's house, get Jen, you know, make dinner over that house. Like, I was so grown, and I had to be grown. And then me and him got married on my 19th birthday. Princess came along at 21. And like I said, I realized, you know, okay, you're working for Mack Trucks. He had a good job. I can never say nothing bad about my first daughter's father because it wasn't like he didn't do for the house. It wasn't like he wasn't working. Like I said, he was 6 years older than me. So basically he was 26 and I was 20. So he kept the job. He did whatever he could. You know, I never had to worry about that. But then my money was coming in from doing whatever I was doing. And, you know, I look back now, he's on wife number 5 after me.
Wow.
Wow. So that's deep.
Yeah, now wait, it gets better. I never asked him for a dime of child support. Not one dime. So when it came time for Tammy to go to college, I called him, like, what's good, Tom? He's like, what's good, Lisa? How you doing, sweetheart? Are you all right? Yeah, we all good. We good. And I said, look, Tammy's college fund is $44,000. I got $39,000. What do you got? Can you come up with the 5? He said, okay, well, let me talk to my wife, number 5, and I'll call you tomorrow. Now, mind you, this man had a vasectomy after Tammy. So this is his only child. So I call him the next day. I didn't hear from him, so I call him 2 days later. I said, yo, Tom, what's good? He said, oh, my wife said no. What? So I called my brother Sal. I called my brother Sal. 2 days later, Sal showed up with the 5K and said, this is for my niece for college. My hood held me down. And, you know, it's funny because Tammy, I never said nothing bad. And this is something we spoke about on my show that night. Don't tell your kids bad things about their fathers, their mothers, nothing. They're going to figure it out in the long run. Because Tammy today will tell me, Mommy, I don't know what's wrong with my father. What do you mean what's wrong with your father? She said, Mommy, come on, you held me down all these years. He didn't. Whenever I need something, I come to Mommy. Oh, you my daughter, you're supposed to. That's Mommy's little girl. That's the princess. That's baby girl Maya. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. She said, nah, I'm supposed to be a daddy's girl. Wow. So, and then he'll send, like I said, he'll send birthday cards in January. Her birthday, December 21st. He'll send her birthday cards in January with a Christmas card with $5 in it talking about Happy Merry Christmas. You know what? Go ahead with yourself. $5 damn. And his wife wearing mink coats and they driving Corvettes. Mm-mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So welcome to my world.
Big
deal. Couple of callers on the line. Let's go ahead and
get
them if they want to talk to Lisa. We're going to go the first number. If you're listening, the last 4 numbers are 6898. I'm going to bring you on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Welcome to the
show.
Hey,
Robbie Boyd, Lucinda, Lisa, shout out from Indiana. How you feeling?
All right.
What's
great.
Up, my man, Gary G? It's Gary's time, baby. What's good? What's good?
What's good? It's all good, brother. It's all good. It's all good. I'm sitting here on the telephone and kind of feeling okay tonight. I was actually just going through a box of my stuff when I was down, and I thought, you know what, I want to call in there. I remembered Lucinda had sent out an email to me. I appreciate that. And I saw that Lisa was on the show. Shout out, girl. How you feel?
I'm straight, baby. How you doing?
I'm okay. You're an inspiration to me for sure. But anyway, I was going through the box of my stuff and really, really took me back to some times, you know, when I was down myself and just wrote a lot of stuff. But I won't get into all that. I just want to call in and say hello and love what you guys are doing right now. And yeah, I had a graduation over there at the Kimbrough. The men got their actual cards.
My man,
Mayor.
Did you get a chance to film it?
I'm sorry?
Did you get a chance to film it?
No, we didn't. We got a bunch of pictures, okay. Though. I actually forgot about filming it, Lucinda. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Right, yeah. Well, make sure you put the pictures up on the movement page now, Gary.
I'm sorry?
Make sure you put the pictures up on the movement page.
I think I might have loaded them up. Maybe I didn't. I thought I did. I thought I got most of them approved, I think, on
I think you put a few.
The screen. Pull up back. Is that where you mean?
Okay, moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did throw them over there. I appreciate that, too. But We want to
good.
We just want to be lifting up Joey Summer. He was one of my graduates. He went out on a pass, and Joey, if you're out there listening, man, we know you're down in Georgia. Okay, you know, we need you to come back. We need you to come back on your own power. Okay, we don't want to have to chase you down. You know, I've been talking to the guys over at the center. If you turn yourself in, they're going to take it easy. You know, you're going to take a hit, no doubt, but we're going to get you back up and running as quick as we possibly can. So, Joey, if you're down there, we know you are. We know who you're with. It's just a matter of time until they come down and grab you, brother. Do the right thing. Just come on back, okay? You know, you're a good man. I was out on the job with you. I know you got a good heart, and I told you about your, you know, your people on the outside, Joey. You know, you go back to them, and, you know, they don't love you back. Just like Robin Lucinda said, they don't love you back, brother. All right? They want you for what you got and what you can give them. That's all they want you for, okay? Yeah, I know you say you love that girl. That might be true, but until you get yourself together, you can't give anything to her. And if she's continuing in the way that lifestyle that she's choosing, she's only going to make you jealous and angry. And look what it's caused you. Okay, brother? So, Joey,
and
shout
wait,
out.
She'll become, she going to become an accomplice.
You know? And, you know, like I said, we know they know where you are, Joey. You got my number, 219-775-6898. If you're listening, brother, just come on. Let's take care of business. All right? Let's get it over.
And I'm in Georgia. He can call me at 678-691-0598. We'll come get him. We'll take care of him. We'll bring him
okay,
up.
Okay, you down here in Georgia. That's right, Lisa. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm straight down here.
Okay, I can probably get some information. You know, I can probably get some information to you. I'll use email. You shot me an email here, and you know, maybe you can reach out. Maybe you can go. Maybe you can find him, talk to him. But he's just a hell of a good guy, like we all are. Like Lisa, you're a good girl. You know, I'm a good guy. You know, Rob, Lucinda. You know, we just blew it. You know, but now we're getting it right. And Joey, just do the right thing, man, all right? It's only going to get worse. Every day you out, it's going to get worse, all right? You're only running from yourself, okay, because they know where you are, all right? Hey.
My man, now what this gentleman right here, what he's on the run for, what jumped off with that?
Yeah, he went out on a pass to, I think, to visit his family, and the girl he's been in this, what you would call it, a relationship. I don't know what you call it, a train wreck waiting to happen. I don't want to be a judge, but y'all know where I'm coming from. Yeah, he went out to visit his mom, and I guess she was there. See, when we was going to training there, I picked the men up about 6 in the morning. I took about 10 of them over to training. And first thing, as soon as we got in that van, I remember, you know, Joey's trying to hit one of the men up for their cell phone because, you know, they can have a cell phone in the work release. So that, and then when you go out, you're allowed to take it with you. So he's bumming up the cell phone, and he was on the phone, you know, saying things like, oh, baby, I love you, I love you. You know, what are you doing? She goes, well, I just, excuse my language, but I just banged the boy down the street for a rock. And I understand. That doesn't make me feel good. If that's the way it's going to be, then it's over. You know, that kind of craziness, you know?
Right.
And so he went out to visit his family. I'm sorry, Rob, I'm not getting to the answer. He went out to visit the family, and she was there, and somehow he decided he wanted to get her out of there, take care of her, you know? But he's missing the piece, man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he done missed the boat, man. He ain't just missed the boat. He done jumped off the boat and ain't no water at the bottom, man. You in jail, man. How the hell you gonna run off shore? But you finna help somebody, man. Is you serious, homie? What the fuck is you? I mean, excuse me, people tonight, but I'm sitting here listening to this, man, and I'm over here asking myself, is this guy serious, man? I mean, straight up, you know. I mean, how the hell you going to just take off because you're on a furlough for the weekend like you just a straight-up free man going to save the world, B? Come on, man, and get on back to the spot, man, and, you know what I mean, get that done with, man, and stop tripping, homie, you know?
That's what's up, you know.
Bottom line, you feel me? Because you tripping, B, whoever you may be, you tripping, man.
Yeah,
you gonna risk your freedom for that? You gonna risk your freedom for that, homie? You hey, bro, I don't even want to say what I want to say on here, but you're a very ignorant man. That's what I can tell you, play. Ain't no freedom worth none of that, homeboy.
Right, he got to get back and take care of his business here. You're going back to your homeboy. Got to change his relationships when he rolls out, because y'all know as good as anybody, I'm sure. You know that's the first trigger.
You're going to jail, right? You're going to jail, and she'll be doing her own thing again. So you might as well just get set on me. Bottom line, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
Now we're getting back to Lisa. We back over on the mission. What advice would you give the rest of the people that's done heard your story, that's going through the same thing you're going through and that went through some of the situations you spoke on tonight, you know? What advice should you reach out tonight to them?
Give yourself in and do the time. You did the crime, do the time. Get it over with. Straight like that. Just get it over with. Because it's always going to be following you. And no matter where you go, and if you get pulled over for anything, or like you could be walking on the street, and the cops decide to just ask you for ID. They run your record, it's going down. So you might as well do it the right way, because at the end of the day, you still ain't sleeping with your head right. Trust and believe, you can't sleep. You can't sleep right.
Amen. So what would you say to my missus? The floor is yours.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking that, you know, how can you take care of anyone else if you can't, you know, take care of yourself and have a stable foundation, you know, for yourself to start out with, you know? I mean, if you have that, maybe you could reach out and help somebody else. But, I mean, clearly, if she's out banging people for rocks, you know, she's not going to make a good girlfriend for you.
And you in jail. And you go away for a weekend. And you the savior. Come on, B. Come on, man. Let's get real up on these streets, man. I mean, you know, we have to laugh at him, man. I mean, I was holding him back, but he's a joke. He's a 911 straight up. Gary's time. Whoever your man is, man, your man is a simple guy, man. I mean, I get to keep it 100, player, because anytime you're going to walk away, man, from the joint, and you tell me you're going to go save somebody, bro, you ain't even saved yet. You feel me? You look in the mirror, man. I mean, come on, bro.
He thought he was
your supervisor, Gary?
No.
I'm just trying to figure it out, homie. I mean, was he there on a visit, Gary?
He was out on a visit. See, and the thing is, this is how it's funny, no doubt.
Oh, Lord.
So when you look at it, you know, being where we are from our side, no doubt, it's comical.
If you look at Gary Time, even if I was locked up in the joint, bro, it would still be funny to me. You feel me? I was on the other side of the gate, I always was the same guy, man. I laugh at a fool, man. My mother always said, you let a fool be a fool. You feel me? Huh? And that guy is a fool, bro. He's a straight up fool, man.
And I'm not denying. Them streets don't love him back. All right, and he decided.
That's why I was trying to ask you, Gary. Was he there on a visit, visiting you?
No.
Or is he in jail trying to be a free man before his time?
No, see, he was almost there too, man. He was on short time. He was in the work release building, okay. So he wasn't even really locked down anymore. He had. If I look at his paperwork, I think he only had about 5 or 6 months left, okay. And you know, I got him his training. I was setting him up with some work. You know, he had all the right things going on. But my point is, you know, that's how serious this. You know, this rock is when you get back out there and these relationships, you know, right. that the people get hung up in.
Hey, Gary,
trip
that's
over.
Why I asked you that question. You really didn't catch it when I asked you what I asked you. Check it out. Was homeboy visiting or was he just a guy out on a work release or was he just a visitor?
No, he went out on a pass.
Now, he went out on a pass. Okay, now you go out on a pass from the joint now. I'm thinking here now. You go out on a pass from the joint. That's just a 3-day getaway, my brother. You feel me? And then you back Sunday night. You know what I mean? I've been in his shoes. You feel me? So you back Sunday night on the furlough tip. So you can't even take care of you right now, but you took it upon your own self to just take your own freedom before you became free. You feeling me?
I totally got you.
He took it upon himself to become free before he got free.
you feel
me, Gary? I'm just saying, man. This is the... This
Real
is
talk.
A trip me out tonight, man. You feel me? I mean, how do these fools just walk away, man, from life like that, man? When you right there with a conscious mind, bruh, you know what I mean? And you asking yourself, let me go chase drugs or let me go chase a female, a dolphin, period, as I call them. You chasing a dolphin? For what? I mean... That has nothing to offer you, man. Unless you're the same thing. Unless you're the same thing. You only taste what you are. you feel me?
That's the thing. You don't see it when you're sick. You don't see it when you're sick yourself. You know, that's...
And at the same time, Gary, a lot of these people, man, and this on the straight up tip. I'm back on the real tip now, you know. A lot of these people fail to understand, man, you know, when you get to dealing with that type of lifestyle, if you don't change your life, your ways, your thought pattern, and all of that, bruh, it's only two ways out of that, man, and that's death or the penitentiary. And everybody on this line know that, you feel me? But at the same time, when you're getting a second chance to do something right, man, you're supposed to take that second chance and manifest that into something righteous, you know what I mean? Now, he just cut his own throat, you know, running, trying to help somebody that ain't even helping themselves. You know, you ain't even helped yet, bro. Help you first, and then you can reach out to somebody else, you know? So that's just a serious point made out the whole situation.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. But I just thought about it when I was chatting. You know, Joey, if you hear us, Lisa's down there. She shouted her number out. You got my digits. You know, come on back, man. Let's knock off the horse shit and get back here and take care of your life. All right, straight up.
Right.
anyway,
hey,
that's for tonight, you guys, and for being here. All right.
And behind all that good sounding information tonight, we're going to definitely clearly go to a music break, a commercial break, and we're going to come right back tonight with my homeboy, Gary Stein, and our special guest tonight, Miss Lisa at ATL. We popping, we rocking, and we making it happen tonight. You know, stay tuned.
Peace.
We'll be right back.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, this the streets don't love you back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always, even when no one else cares. He's there for you.
Oh,
keep your head up.
Oh, hey. The streets on the cloudy back. Out here grinding in a life of crime. The streets on the cloudy back. It's only one room, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets on the cloudy back. It's only one way on this lonely road. The streets on the cloudy back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
Rob Boy checking in, letting you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned by my father in this world, when I was abandoned by the man that I thought loved me, it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he done for me, 'cause I listened to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back. The streets don't love me back. I hear crying in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love you back. There's only one way on this lonely road.
Never love you.
The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they call me home.
I know I can't change the way your young mind thinks, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink, and I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if you get me out the streets. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head, another fork in the road. Everyone got affidavits, show their codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man, fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, and day rooms to mess halls and rec yards. You think you something special, everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV. And a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raced by the streets with no dad. But going life or death ain't fresh and ain't gonna never change the past. Cause yeah, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop Crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Project, my man Chickaria, Warner County Project, 430 Crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here to Streets and Love You Back Radio Show, where we're kicking it live with our special guest, Lisa, tonight. We're going to send the mic back over to the missus for a few announcements and an admission right now.
Actually, we're going to go ahead and go to our next caller. The last four digits are 7550. Caller, you're on the air?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Hi, listen. Hi, Lucinda and Rob. This is Yolanda. And hi,
hey,
Lisa.
Yolanda.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm just really enjoying the show as usual, and I just want to commend your guest for you know, standing on her truth and just speaking her truth so plain. And, you know, a lot of things she spoke about, you know, of course came from her heart, and they, you know, they weren't all pretty things, but, you know, that's something I think people that you're trying to help, when they see you stand on your truth and they see you stand, you know, wherever you are and stand up for yourself, you know, I think that'll lead a lot of people out of, you know, the lifestyle where they're at the crossroads. Because I remember growing up, you know, I didn't get involved, get in the streets. Mainly, you know, my parents separated at 13, 14 years old, divorced, because my mother kept her hand on us. I mean, her hand. It was, you know, her and my father, you know, got into an altercation once. And neither one of them remembered. I do. I guess I was, you know, destined to be the writer in the family. And my dad, you know, was this big bodybuilder, and he decided one day he was drunk. He was going to push my mom around. And I was sitting at the dinner table, and, man, my mom, you know, she's part Cherokee Indian. So she turned around, and, I mean, in a quick spin, and I knocked him off his feet before he knew it. And, you know, when and that stayed with me, that, you know, no matter who you are, who looks bigger than you, that you stand up for yourself. You stand up for what you believe in. And I think because she had girls, she didn't want her girls growing up thinking that that was okay for someone to push you around. And even my dad, he's passed on now, you know, and he apologizes a lot for his behavior. I said, but, you know, God doesn't throw anybody away. God lets you, you know, whatever you did, you see, you helped me to be a better person I am now, because I ended up taking care of when my grandparents got elderly, took care of them, and even ended up taking care of his affairs. I said, see, you know, God had it all worked out. You know, but when you stand on your truth and you just, even when you don't think you're doing right, you put your best effort forward, and what you're doing, speaking real like Rob does, you know, just saying this is the way it is, I think that speaks more to a person than, you know, them tell, you know, someone telling you, you know, you have to change because you need to, or judge. But everybody knows they need to change. They know when they're doing wrong. But when they're saying like, well, you know, if somebody like Lisa can, Lisa, look, we all she been through, her mother beating her and this, that, and the other, and this lady, you know, stood up, she had kids, she's raising her kids, and she said, I'm going to stand up for my neighborhood, stand up for people who need my help, and, you know, from just sitting here, just know that, you know, God has his hands on everybody, and everybody has a purpose. Nobody that's living here, standing here, breathing is a throwaway, and I just want to commend you for doing that.
Wow. No, I'm just me. Like, when I speak to authors and stuff on the phone, they celebrities to me, and I'm just talking to them like how I talk on the show and how I talk to people on my show. I just been through a lot, and one thing I want to touch on is my grandmother, because this is real important for me. Because a grandmother, I don't care what the hell you say, I swear to God, a grandmother, she gives unconditional love. You get locked up, that woman going to mortgage a house, she'll mortgage the street. She don't care. She going to get you out. Your parents won't. But a grandmother will. And that's why I miss her so much. Because that was my heart and my soul and my best friend all those years. And, yeah, I get emotional about it. But at the same time, I'm not ready to be a grandmother. And I told my oldest, oh, hell no. Hell no. You got to be 30. And she's like, but, Mom, that's 6 years more. Okay, I'll be 51. Then we can do it like that. She's like, Mom, you silly. But, you know, and then I got to look at Facebook and see the people that I've connected with and found, Rob and Lucinda. And I really got a shout out to my sister Shalana, because that little girl is the Amos thing. That lady right there, her daughter, my niece, crazy. But, you know, it's like me and her do everything together. I love you so much, Shalana. because when Sal and Haas, the Amos family up north, don't got me, my sister got me 24/7. And there's a lot more coming with me and her. And it's like, it's always my hood that got me. It's always Facebook or my hood that got me. But when it comes to Shalana and Chef Tracy, oh my God, and Shani Fenderson, like, we will be on the phone for 2 hours every night doing prayers, doing whatever we have to do. Yeah.
Right, make it happen.
Yeah, and I look back to what I came from. Like, I wasn't nobody. Okay, I had an $85,000 a year job. I was doing the accounting thing, this, that, and third. But my heart wasn't in it. Yeah, I got.
Right.
I can go 3 months without doing laundry because I got clothes for days from that job. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be with my hood. And that's why when everybody asked me, Lise, what you cooking? What do you want me to cook? And they'll put food up in this house quick. They'll bring food, and my house stays stocked with food. But they will.
Exactly.
They will come over and bring food. Like, can you cook this for us, Lise? Yeah, I got you. Lil Vanilla, you gonna cook? Yeah, I got you. So that's where that began. Same as Newark. I be putting work in the kitchen, and they see my menu. And Jazara, she wasn't playing Sunday when I said I wasn't cooking that. And she said, "Oh, boo, call me on the phone. Talk about. I know you cooking some." No, the homeboys is out for the weekend. But when it comes to my hood and my family, and it's not, I could tell you, except for my kids, none of them is blood related. But when it comes to Sal, Haas, Mooney, and Shalona, oh my God, my sister Shalona, she the shit. Like, I can't even explain to you about her. And y'all got a surprise coming next month. But that's my heart. Like, anything and everything I do is for her. And she's not my blood, but that lady right there, she's my heart. Like, there's nothing we wouldn't do. And Shawnee the same way, and Chef Tracy. And it's like, it's all off of Facebook. So it's not who you know or what you know, it's how you become.
Right, big that. And we definitely want to say that we've been having a great show with our guest Lisa tonight, and we had some great information, to give out to the public about Gary's time situation as well, and the show is about that too. It's just we have to put the red alert out. That's what the show is about as well, because once again, we have to help the community and we have to help others, and we definitely are out to take the ones that don't need to be on the street off the street. So we enter that too as well, you know. So straighten up, and you don't have to be nobody looking for you or none of that, you know. Just go and get your life together because, hey, if you want it, it can happen, you know. Many have changed their life, and many are still changing their life, you know. So you need to come on and be one of the ones that changed your life, my brother. So we're just giving that a shout-out to you, Gary, and hoping your man, come on back safe and sound, you know. And other than that, we're going to give Lisa a shout-out. We're going to give my man Gary a shout-out, but we're going to start with the special guest, Lisa. She can give her shout-out, and then we'll pass the mic to Gary time.
Well, I give a shout-out to y'all. You already know. And I give a shout-out to God. I give a shout-out to my sister Shalona, Sal, Haas, Tracy, Shawnee, all my Facebook people, like, that have really held me down, that we doing it like we doing it. Legant, all them, Hubby Jabral, Tisho, and Kimani, and my girls, oh my God, Maya and Tammy, and Pop and Mommy. Yeah, I'll give y'all shout outs because this is where the love come from. And, wow, and my grandmother.
Let me ask you a question, Lisa, real quick. through all of the stuff that you went through, and everything that you've learned, what has given you the drive and the inspiration to still rise above it all and to become successful?
My girls. My babies.
That's good motivation to always to show them that they can achieve and have more.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. That's the best motivation in America, you know what I mean? If it ain't moms or the kids, you know what I mean? And I think that's only fair, you know? And we have to start learning how to, you know, educate more and understand more and learn more, you know? And like I tell people, you know, once you learn, then you can live, you know? Because if you ain't learned, then you really ain't living, you know what I mean? You have to learn then live. So that's what I tell people. And when I do talk to people, they be blown away when they really sit down and talk to me, you know. But that's what God do for you, you know. And I thank him for all that he's done blessed me with. And I thank him for the wisdom and the knowledge. And definitely thank him for my missus, my number one stunner, you know, always on that tip. So,
we're always
24/7. Yeah, so I'll pass the mic over to the missus.
Well, we'll go ahead and let Roger give his shout out, and if he has anything to ask me, sir, anything else to share.
Yeah. Again, shout out to Lisa. You're rocking down there, girl. You're an inspiration to me. I appreciate you. I know we went back and forth a little bit a couple times, and I apologize. I think I missed your call-in show, but just make sure you hit me for the next one. Shout out to the men over there at Kimbrough. You know, and all you men locked down, you know, this is not the last day of your life. You know, it's the first day of your life. And if I can, I said I was digging through some boxes of my stuff, and I found this thing that I wrote. Do you mind if I share it for the men out there?
Oh, go ahead, my brothers. This is what this is about.
All right. This was I wrote this when I was in Berks County Prison, I guess around 1990 or so. And I was pretty upset, obviously. So here we go. I titled it The Power of Fear. No phones, no lights, no power to use. As I look outside, there's no one to accuse. My heart is pounding. I'm living in fear, fear mostly of what is unknown, fear of the areas in my life outgrown, paralyzed. No clocks, no fans, no sounds and such. Without his power, no doubt I'd lose touch. I wake up in the morning, used to a man-made power, the kind we can't depend on. Oh, look at the hour. It has to be after 4:45. No, later than that, and I'm still alive. Walking around wondering, oh, what shall I do? Is it really too late? Have I no power to use? Suddenly, a still calmness came over me, till the light came on, and I knew I could see. A peace and a chill came over me. A power from within was all I would need. To start my day with no phone and no clock, just a power from within that only he could unlock. All along, I've been counting on a man-made until I realized that by the power I had through him, I need not be afraid. So
that's a good piece right there. That's a great piece right there, Gary John, you know. And I felt that piece because you wrote that at the time of your darkness moments. You wrote that piece. So, yeah, that's a piece that will stay with you for a lifetime and always will remind you where you came from. And it's an inspirational piece to others that's in darkness as well, that's trying to find the morning light. So, once again, great uplifting.
All right, brother. You got it. That was exactly it. You know, I was you know, there's no lights, there's no clocks, there's no sounds and such when you're locked down. You know, you have the opportunity of a lifetime, okay, and that's to reach out to the power that's real. That's one outside yourself, so I just give that to all the men out there and the women. You know, we can do it. I'm living proof. I think everybody on the line is living proof. And so just shout out. God bless you. And I love you, Lucinda, Rob, Lisa.
You.
I missed the other girl's name over there. I apologize for that. But
Yolanda.
Okay, Yolanda. Okay. Check me out anytime on Facebook. If you don't mind, a quick shout. Gary's Time is the name of the page. And it's garystime.com. All right. Peace and blessings, guys.
All right. And Ms. Yolanda is still on the line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
All
yeah,
right. Go ahead. And we definitely want to send you a big shout out because you've been supporting me and the missus from day one. So we definitely want to give you a big shout out. And we definitely want to thank you for the purchase of our books. And we just wanted you to touch up on that a little bit for the fans as well, since you have done had that good learning lesson in your hands.
Yeah, I just really can appreciate the truth is powerful, it's strong, and reading someone else's stories, they're so intense, and they're eye openers. But the message is that it just takes one person to stand up for themselves, to stand for their truth, regardless of where they are in their life, and that's what just touched me so. And just wanted to share with other people that, it's worth a read because some people may feel, they may still be in the dark. They may still be afraid, like Gary was talking about. But, there are power in words. There are power in these stories that are told in both these books. And if they have an opportunity to get the book or to speak to someone or may, just need to purchase one, I wouldn't mind purchasing one or two for someone who may want to read it. Just reach out to me through your page. But, that God is so real that he's reached through everybody. And you can see for yourself, Rob, that even, where you've been and other people, that God had his hands on you the whole time. He said that, that nothing that's here in this universe is trash or waste, regardless of how we behave. We do the separating by our behavior, but that doesn't shock God. God is not like all freaked out. You say, because I got this. I already have it worked out, and just
Amen.
To see it come around is just it's wonderful for me, and I'm just so appreciative of the to have this opportunity to connect with you all. So
we definitely appreciate.
I am really enjoying this.
And I just thank God, I had to back the whole picture up, really. I got to thank God for my missus, because if it wasn't for my missus really getting me back in gear on a lot of things, it wouldn't be no The Streets Don't Love You Back radio show, or none of that, my missus put, first feet forward on the whole mission. And created the whole mission from ground up, with me and her knowledge, and understanding and respect for one another. And, the great inspiration that we both have within each other is just phenomenal to have her, And just life is just great, because I'm living my dream for real now, And to help other people and to be able to see my first book come to fruition. That was like, wow, Because my first book, they messed it up at first, but then my missus got a hold to it and did my whole book all over again, And from her doing my book all over again and editing and making sure everything was good and The Streets Don't Love You Back, my first book went to the Afro-American History Museum. That's unheard of, with a lot of literature that comes out, and I was honored in my own hometown, So my works
they're there for life, you know, and people can learn through what the message is, you know, and
absolutely.
Just the same way with the Never Hit a Woman book, you know. My missus, you know, did the cover of that book and edited the book for me and made sure everything was good. So everything I do, I have to always give a big shout out to the queen because she'd be behind the scenes making it go down, you know. And God is good all the time, you know. So, yeah, she don't sleep on the job, you know. She might take a cat.
I don't sleep too much.
Yeah. Our motto is, you know, we can sleep when we dead. Right now, we got to make a difference and do what we need to do. You know what I mean? To spread the message and bring people more closer to the Creator. Because basically, at the end of the day, that's what it's really all about. You know what I mean? So people can, like my mother used to say, you know, you can shoot the BS all day long, but at the end of the day, you know, it's truly about making a difference out here, man, and getting closer to him, you know, bottom line.
Well, absolutely.
Right.
So we definitely appreciate your orders, you know, because as soon as you connected with me and my missus, you immediately bought the books and you waited for the Never Hit a Woman to come out, and you bought that immediately. So we would definitely appreciate all the support you give the movement and the people you sent our way. Thank you again.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And I think I need to put another message out there because I offered anybody that was on my networking page that, you know, like the first three or four people that bought the book that I would even – you know, give them their money back so they can get the book for free. So I think it's time for to redo that message because I speak to so many people all the time and they tell me different stories and younger people in age that tell me different stories about what they're going through. And you know, like some of them who've already have, you know, significant others have gone to jail and then, you know, they go back home, they live in Katy, live in their big houses, and they have their, I call them pretend gangsters. I said they're
Amen.
Pretending to be gangsters. I said, you need to get a hold of Rob's book. I said, what they're doing and running back home to mom and got a pool in the backyard, what is that? You know? I said, they're not going to stop. They hadn't fallen hard yet. I said, get them a copy of put them in touch. I've been trying to put this couple of them in touch with you. I said, those guys were gangsters. I said, because when I read that one story, was it about the Browns that you knew? To the brothers? I can't remember which one it was, but I mean, that really frightened me. I'm like, oh, my God, just hearing the story of this person, you know, I said, these people, you know, came up. I mean, it had to be like war all the time. So they were desensitized from a very young age. So they were doing crimes, you know.
And it's like, you know, just since you spoke up on that, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, it's like now in my life, you know what I mean, at the age I am now, you know, sometimes I still be want to be a little child sometimes for all to play and enjoy my life sometimes in certain areas of that because I never had a chance to be a kid. You know what I mean? I don't even know what it is to be no kid. I mean, I started out in the street life. I was 10 years old. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't know the faintest idea what it is to play with toys and, you know, we're in no mud pies and we just, you know, getting dirty and go in the house and we wash up and go to sleep after we eat type thing, you know. So it's like I often sit back and go through my life and like, wow, you know, I'd be like, man, you know, I wonder how that would be just to be able to sit on that swing and, you know, just enjoy life without no worries at that time. Because when you're a kid, you don't supposed to have no worries. You know, your worries should be just going to school and playing around the house, you know, type of thing.
Well, and a kid, you know, at 10 years old shouldn't be gangbanging, selling drugs. You had no childhood. Mm-hmm. That was your childhood, was gangbanging and selling drugs. You know, it was taken away from you. You know, you never had that chance to do the right thing because you didn't have
I mean, you had your stepfather for a while, not, you know, not your biological, and then you lost him. I mean, imagine watching your grandfather kill your stepfather, the only man that you love, you know, right in front of you. And not having a father figure, and you just having to feel that you have to become the caretaker, you know, mm-hmm. and take care of your mom and your sister and your brothers. And, it, you know, your whole childhood was just taken from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I couldn't even imagine at that age watching my grandfather kill my, you know, I mean, it's not even, I mean, it's, who could imagine that?
Right.
You know, but, you know, and he, and Rob, from, you know, he's always told me that he, you know, he never had the toys and the, you know, the things that kids have when they're little. So now he has a car collection. And he has a train.
Right.
And he has a Christmas train that goes around the Christmas tree. And I buy him every birthday, he gets a big remote control car. So we take those out and play with those. So we're
right.
Big kids now.
And I enjoy that. You know what I mean?
Rob.
Rob,
do you remember the cable, the slide box with the channels and the Atari?
Atari.
I never played any of those. I mean, they was around me. I mean, but at a young age, I mean, you know, people started to realize until they really get my book, you know, I knew what responsibility was at 10 and 11 years old, you know what I mean? It wasn't about, to me, it wasn't about no toys or none of that, because, see, I was the oldest. I was real close to my mother, still is, you know, that's my heart, you feel me? And my mother have always been that driving force in my life, you feel me? Even though I was doing wrong, you know, I knew it was wrong,
was
but I knew
angel.
I had to take
always
care of my mother.
For you.
You know, and being the flip side of that, I was playing with big toys at a young age, you know what I mean? I went to the Cadillac dealer, I was 16, with a duffel bag of money, and I bought my mom a brand new Cadillac off the show lot, and I thought she just didn't have no car. My mother didn't even know how to drive, you know.
Oh, that's
so
a damn shame right there.
He took the car
I'm
home
like,
to her, and she's like, but I don't drive. He's like, I just thought you didn't have a car to drive.
So I ended up giving it away. I drove it for a while and ended up giving it to one of my homeboys, but it was just, you know, I just never had a no childhood because I always had to be responsible, you know what I mean? And I had to be bright. I had to be a guy that was about taking care of my mother and my brothers and them and my sister. And, you know, even though I was doing wrong, I was being taught by the right people the wrong thing, but it paid off years later at the age I am now. Because I know how to manage money. I know how to, you know what I mean, network. I know how to make sure this is that. You know what I mean? I know how to cook. I know how to clean. I know how to wash. I mean, I know how to do all the things it takes to survive in this place we call America. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I think if you don't know how to survive, once again, you have not learned. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And when you learn, that's why I said I use that term, then you live, you know what I mean? Because if you don't know how to survive that is, as an individual or as a team, I mean, you fold. You will fold and crumble, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So at a young age, I became a real warrior at a young age, you know, and yeah, God just brought me a mighty long ways, and for years I pushed out of my mind on sometimes who I truly was, you know what I mean? Because I loved my stepfather because he raised me until I was 9 when he got murdered, but I pushed out my mind who my real father truly was, you feel me? And you know, my mother told me as I got older, I would understand more things, you know, because I was real angry at my real father because he never did nothing for me. And my mother would try to get me to talk to him sometimes, but I was real angry at him. And, you know, I never would
kick it, you know. But as I got older, at my age, in my 40s, I truly learned, you know, about my father and reading up on my father. You know, basically, I'm reading me. You know what I mean? And it's just so amazing how I look at life now in a whole nother realm since I met my, you know, since me and my missus been together. You know what I mean? I look at life in a whole nother realm that I never truly looked at. And that was all God sent, for real, you know? Because my real father, you know, even though he never did nothing for me, for money-wise and all that, I mean, he a brilliant man. He did. I could never knock that. You know what I mean? He was a brilliant man, and he helped a lot of people. He just fell short of the family department. But we all make mistakes. So, yeah. So I get a lot of my thinking and a lot of my heritage from my real father. You know, he's an author, too. He got 64 books around the world.
Wow.
Right, that's what I said when I first really found out about my father and what great person he was. You feel me? He used to donate to Martin Luther King and them marches and movements and Martin Luther King father. And, oh, man, the story is deep than I can
even
tell.
Well, he used to meet with them. He used to have a lot of connections with a lot of those people.
Yeah. And this is what I didn't grow up with, you know what I mean? He had another life outside of us. You know what I mean? We was in the ghetto, for real ghetto, in the black bottoms, but nobody ever knew who my real father was, you know what I mean? Because people would have tripped out if they didn't know who he was at that time, you feel me? I mean, I'm sitting there watching him on TV all the time and listening to him on his, you know, he had his own broadcast for 30 years and on TV. So I'm sitting there looking at this sometime with my homeboys, and they be like, man, he got the same name you got, you know what I mean? But I'm still not understanding, yeah, that's my father. You feel me? So years, nobody ever even knew the type of man I came from, you know? He was no man of the streets. You know, he's never been in the street life whatsoever. And if people look at me, they say, damn, well, how you get involved in the street life there? Because your father ain't never been into none of that, or my mother. You know what I mean? It's just God had my life going another way. You know what I mean? And in a different direction. But at the end of the day, look what he did for me, though. You know what I mean? He spared my life. He gave me a second chance. And once again, I had to go all the way back to it again. You know, me and my missus, you know, we put in work, you know what I mean? Not for ourselves or for the glory of it. We put in work for the Father, because the Father, through him, we get our blessings, you know? So everything's been ordained and blessed through everything we touch, you know? And helping people, giving back, understanding. And people ask my wife, boy, they at least read my history. They say, how did you meet that guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then she had to go through all the displaying and tips sometimes. You know what I mean? Because me and her life was like night and day, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just, it's God is good, you know, and I just thank you, Wade, I'm brought me from.
Definitely. Wow, you guys are really doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I really appreciate everybody who, you know, logs on and joins our movement, and not only join our movement, but give back, you know, to our youth and give back to people who just need a word of encouragement sometimes, you know. A lot of times it just takes a word of encouragement to turn somebody's life around, or just a few words that you say. You know, words is more powerful than money, you know what I mean? Money go and come, but words last forever. Because what you say, you got to mean it. Or don't say it, because once you say it, it is what it is. You feel me?
Right.
And
yeah.
words can hurt you, and they can lift you up. And a lot of times, all people need is that little word of encouragement to be able to tell themselves, you know what, yeah, I can do it, and I'm going to do it.
Mhm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, tonight, I'm feeling so good tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to, is Gary Time still on the line?
No, he's gone.
Okay, so who all on the line? Just me, you, and
Lisa?
Ms. Yolanda, and Ms.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tonight we're going to go down in a special prayer, ladies, tonight. Is that all right with you, ladies?
I'm here.
All right, well, we're going to go down in a special prayer tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thanking you for blessing me and my wife's movement and blessing our radio show and blessing everything we do to give back to help others, Father. We just ask you to bless this to be a blessed night, Father, for someone to be done, get some great understanding and a great message out what was said tonight. Help save someone's life, Father. We ask you to just touch each and everybody, Father, that you need to touch right now. And we just thanking you through your Son Jesus' name, Father. We pray. Amen.
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 Yeah. So we're gonna go out like that tonight.
Right. Let me ask Lisa just to let us. Can you let everybody know what your upcoming plans are as far as your? I mean, you already have your radio show, but your bookstore, and just let everybody know what you're doing here in the future, what you're doing now and in the future.
This weekend is the 2011 Word on the Street Urban Literary Festival that I'm running with my sister Shalana. At the North Atlanta Trade Center, I pulled it all together by myself. So we're doing that this weekend. The Friday is the meet and greet at the Spot Bar and Grill. It's not a strip club. God forbid, after the last one I went to that they had. But no, I have it at a Spot Bar and Grill. And actually, Sean Wright, he is the one I'm representing at that with the meet and greet. So we're doing it a twofold. So we got the meet and greet, and that's in Tucker, Georgia. And wow, then I'm going back to home. I'm going to go home for a couple of days, back to Newark, and see my family and my friends. I'm going to hit New York. I'm going to hit Newark, of course, where I lived. And then I'm going to be in Philly with Jabral and Ron and all them in Philly Horizons. I'm going to stop there for a day. Then I'm going to come back to Atlanta, and then I'm going to open the store.
Awesome. And tell the listeners a little bit about your store and what it'll be like.
Oh, the Word on the Street at G Street is like an intersection. I merged with G Street Chronicles and Joe Awesome. Wow, that Beast Mode book is off the hook. And George Sherman, yeah, that's the owner of G Street. That's the publisher and everything on G Street. We all merged together, and so it's going to be Word on the Street, G Street. And I'm going to open it with my sister, Shalana, as usual. And then we're going to open the cafe, the Word on the Street, at G Street Cafe.
Wow.
All right. Sounds awesome. And you're going to represent authors as well as musicians?
Yeah, all the authors will be in my store. They already know what it is. All my authors can put their books in the store. I got enough room. I got this. And, yeah, I got all my rappers putting their CDs in the store.
Okay. That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, we got it going. We know what we're doing.
That's right. So for all the listeners out there, you can rise above it all, no matter what you went through, no matter where you come from. You know, you just have to have a will and a want, and you can do anything out there if you really, you know, put your heart to it, put your mind to it, and, you know, have a plan and just get to it. Do it.
Yeah, don't let nothing stop you, please. Because if anybody realized, like,
amen,
get it for a reason, a season, a lifetime, because nothing can stop you. if you got your mind right and you know that you can do right, just do it. Don't let nobody hold you down. Don't let nobody tell you nothing that can't be done, because we do it. We do it, and we come correct, come harmony to the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what they got to understand. Just be yourself.
Right. And a lot of these people that are telling you it can't be done is because they're not doing anything.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see so many in my hood that wannabe, do wannabe, get wannabe, and I'm just, stop being a wannabe and do it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did all this on unemployment. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Straight like that. It's the connects you got. And really know who you're around, because don't think because somebody ain't, you thinking they ain't nothing, best believe they really something.
That's right.
And last but not least, before I hang up this phone, always remember God, because God won't bring you to fail.
Right.
He won't bring you to fail.
That's right.
He damn sure won't.
Amen.
And with that being said, like, Rob and Lucinda, thank you so much for having me on the show. I was so nervous. And,
We're glad that you got unnervous, you feel me? Because we knew you could do it. You know, if anybody could do it, we know you could. So,
uh-huh.
You know. So we want to give you a big, big love shout-out. You heard me?
Yeah, I heard.
Thank you for sharing your story. And I know it goes way deeper, and we didn't have time to talk about it, and a lot of it can't be talked about, but we appreciate, you know, what you did share, and we hope that, you know, everyone learned a lesson from it.
I hope they do, because at the end of the night, like I said, I can lay my head down.
Amen.
I can lay my head down. And no, ain't nobody going to mess with me. Ain't nobody got nothing to say, because what could they really say? What could you really say about me?
Right.
You know, like, I'm so excited about my event this weekend. I can't even, y'all don't even understand, like, my brother's coming and my sister Shalana coming home. Like, everybody coming home to Georgia for it. And I haven't seen them all in over a year.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
That's
be hope you have a successful event. Yeah.
Then I got my authors, and oh my God, like, I'm just like, and
well,
I
take
like
pictures, put them up on the website.
Yeah, I'm gonna take pictures. Oh my God. She do. I'm just like, wow, we're going to do this. We're going to make history. We're really going to make history.
That's what it's about. You just take one step and you keep taking those steps until you get there. And, you know, you just start making it happen little by little.
But you know what it is? I think the fact that I'm having an urban author book fest, you feel what I'm saying? And they all looking at me like, oh, what? Yeah, what, bitch? They like that. What you going to come at me with? Like, come on. What you going to come at me with? Like, and then going to the bar and paid the bill. Like, got all the food being served up, everything done for Sean Wright's party and the meet and greet at the same time. Like, this is going to be crazy. This is something I've never done. I've never ran an event before.
Well, I'm sure you're going to be awesome.
I'm scared. I ain't going to even lie to you. I'm scared. Like, what if one little thing goes wrong and I got novelties? Mwah. Love,
care. You know what, though? A lot of times, if it goes wrong, nobody else will know but you.
Yeah.
You just keep playing, keep going on, and just, you know, just keep going like nothing. Most people won't even know.
Nah, it's going to be right. It's going to be right because I got too many people coming down. We hit a Clark, Wendell Giovanni, like, oh, my God, the list, Altarique, all them, they all come. My sister coming. My brothers is coming. I've got Steve Wright. I mean, the list go on and on and on. But I did it smart. Like, I didn't let, because they told me I could have 1,100 tables at the Trade Center. Yeah, that's what they told me I could have. And then I was like, okay, wait, let me think about this. So then I got, I really had to sit back and fall back, like, hold up, I ain't going to rent that many tables. So then I went to 100, and then I just cut it back. Nah, this is what we're going to do. Because I want all my authors to shine. I want all my rappers to shine. So at the end of the day, and the crazy part of it is, because I was going to call some out, but the crazy part of it is on the other side of the building, the other half of the Trade Center, they having the franchise event. So all that traffic going to come straight over.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Wow. Okay. And then I got Chef Tracy's crazy self selling all those cupcakes. Oh, my God, the cakes and the cupcakes. Oh, Lord. Uh-huh. We gained 25 pounds a day looking at the pictures on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right, well, we have just a couple of minutes left. We do want to play a song here as we go out, Guide and Protect Us. We want to let everybody know that you can get both of our books, The Streets Don't Love You Back and Neighborhood of Woman. All the information is on our website at thestreetsdontloveyouback.com. And anything that we're doing is usually on there. And, Boyd, do you have anything else to say here at the end?
No, I just want to say I thank Lisa for coming on the show tonight. I thank Miss Yolanda for tuning in tonight. And she's done became one of our great, great persons on the movement, her and Lisa. And we just asking you all to continue doing the great work you do. And let's just stay connected and continue working together as a unit and keep spreading that message. And always remember that the streets don't love you back and never hit a woman.
Okay.
I'll pass that mic back to the missus.
Okay. And thank you, Wanda, for calling in. It's always nice to hear from you. And thank you, Lisa, once again for your story. And join us next week. We have K.L. Belvin. He is an author. He wrote the book From Gigolo to Jesus. And he says somewhere, I don't have the quote in front of me, but when God and his wife got a hold of him, he changed his life. So he's gonna share his story next week with us.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna share his story.
That's right. I'm sure it's an awesome story, too. So we're going to go out tonight with the song, Guide and Protect Us, and we wish you all a wonderful week, and join us next Wednesday night, once again, here on the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. Good night.
Amen.
Good night, y'all. Love you.
Love
you.
Thanks.
All right,
y'all
be good. Thank
you.
Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your countenance. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall receive. I will find with an iron fist, Lord. The freedoms of hate and the sea today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. When enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah. And slaughter the weak you quickly with no thought or shame. Lord, for my heart is free. smiling face, boy. I never can give in a praise to your tenderness, Lord. To be in your infinite grace is my happiness, yeah. No matter the time or the place, you're a pivotal, Lord. You show me the light and the dark, so I shall resist. Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice, so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tried the long rocky road. The buffalo soldier fights the power freedom war. The last we left on the throne, the conquering disciples from your congregation. Yeah, yeah. Collect your security. We build a better nation. Time besides the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things, we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love, so I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.